Let's do this, the Cult of Hockey podcast, by the faithful and for the faithful. I'm Bruce McCurdy, flying solo tonight in the absence of my usual colleague and host of this podcast, David Staples, who's away in small town Alberta at another hockey tournament this weekend. David's doing double duty, coaching his two youngest kids, head coaching his two youngest kids on two different teams. So he's not always available for these things. I am tonight, and I am available to talk about a good win for the Edmonton Oilers. 7-2 over those pesky Minnesota Wild. Well, the Oilers tamed the Wild tonight, pumping 7 goals into the Minnesota net that's been so hard to penetrate all these last, it seems like forever that the Wild have had Edmonton's number. I know they won 9 of their previous 10 visits to Edmonton, so let's start there. It was a weird game. The Oilers scored 3 early and 3 late, and in between times they spent a whole lot of time kind of stuck in their own end as Minnesota pressed the deal, did manage to score a couple of goals, the Oilers bent but didn't break, and that is especially true of Cam Talbot, who in a second straight game and second straight win in the Edmonton Nets performed ably enough to hold down the fort, including a couple of huge saves that kept the Oilers at a 2-goal lead, a time when a couple times where Minnesota looked to really make a game out of it, and Talbot came up with what they call timely saves. As an old goalie, I kind of look askance at that whole idea. I mean, the time to make the save is right now or on the next shot. But sometimes those saves are bigger in the context of the moment than they might otherwise be. And Cam had stopped a couple of crazy flurries with the score 3-1 at one point, 4-2 at another. And he kept the score stable at that. And the Wild, in truth, never got within 2 goals of Edmonton at any point. This after the opening few minutes when Edmonton pounded home 3 goals in the first 8:42. We're going to go with our usual format, the good, the bad, and the numbers, 2 of each. And in David's absence, I get to choose both in all 3 categories. So here goes the good. Well, we might as well start with the great, not the merely good. Connor McDavid, erupting out of a quiet scoring period for him with a 1-goal, 3-assist performance that was a delight to watch. All beautiful points, really. 2 primary assists on lovely passes to Leon Draisaitl. A secondary assist on another lovely pass to Draisaitl, which Leon subsequently sent Darnell Nurse's way for the finish. And best of all, a gorgeous goal that McDavid scored himself on a solo effort within the zone. It was like a goal scored off the rush, except for he was doing all the rushing sort of east-west as he zoomed around the perimeter of the Minnesota zone for quite a number of seconds, skating past various defenders before he finally cut into a middle, deked one last guy out of his shorts, and then fired a wrist shot from the high slot that just boomed past Devin Dubnyk and rippled the top of the net. That was a 3-0 goal, and it ultimately stood up as the game winner, for whatever that means in a game like this. But it's always nice when the game winner is a nice one, and this one certainly was. This was McDavid at his finest. He also had a couple of other strong rushes that, of course, didn't result in goals, but did result in good scoring chances for Edmonton. And one or two wobbles defensively, but nothing serious. And when you look at the score sheet and you see all 3 members of the line boasting a +4 at the end of the night, well, chances are you're going to win that game 10 times out of 10. So kudos to McDavid. The other good thing, tempting as it is to sort of give team-wide credit here, And they will get it in the game grades, where everyone's going to get at least a passing grade tonight. But I'm going to single out Jujhar Khera for some fine work of late, and especially tonight. Jujhar has suddenly gotten hot offensively, and he now has 5 points in his last four games, scoring at least 1 point in each of those games, and is up to 10 on the season in 26 games, which is pretty decent production for a guy that's been in the bottom six almost all year, and even in the press box a couple of times. But after he scored a nice goal on Monday night in Dallas, the only goal in the 4-1 loss in Dallas, Ken Hitchcock saw fit to promote him up the lineup to the second line with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Jesse Puljujärvi. And Jujhar has taken the bull by the horns and Pettis says, I'm not supposed to say that anymore. What is it now? Take the rose by the thorns. He's taken the rose by the thorns, and he's attacked offensively. He's bringing some good offensive grinding game mostly. And he turned in two assists tonight. The first one was a bit of a sloppy rebound by Devin Dubnyk, but he complicated things by driving to the net front and making things difficult on the stray rebound. But the wonderful play that he made was on, I think it was a 6-2 goal scored by Alex Chiasson during a line change. And the reason the line change even happened was because the line of the Nuge, the Juge, and the Pulge were doing such a great job of keeping the play deep in wild territory that they were able to make the line change while Khera went on a one-man rampage along the end wall, winning three consecutive board battles, keeping the puck in front of him at all times, overpowering his man, and finally emerging to the side of the net with the puck, where he made a sweet centering pass and Chiasson roofed it for, I'd call it a pretty goal. It was a pretty goal of the lunchbox category, as opposed to, one of those dazzling passing plays that we saw at other times in this game. But the work rate that Khera showed on that play was tremendous, and it was lovely to see him get rewarded for it. So hats off to you, Jujhar Khera, for one of the plays of the game and one of our two best things on a many good thing night. Now, two bad things. This is a little bit tougher tonight. 7-2, right? What's bad in a 7-2 win? So I'm going to cheat a little bit, and one of my bad things is going to be the play of former Oiler Devin Dubnyk, who had a very rough night in Edmonton, a place he's had rough nights in the past, but never when he's played on an opposing team, it seems like. Only when he plays for, in the distant past, when he played for the Oilers, he had some tough games here, and a lot of good games, too. He's a good goalie. And he came into this game. Of course, he never played against the Oilers early in his career, but he came into this game with a career record against the Oilers of 9 wins, 2 losses, 1.34 goals against average, 947 save percentage. I mean, those aren't just good numbers. Those are off the charts. And so I guess he was due for a stinker in Edmonton, and he delivered tonight with a very short outing. It only lasted some under 9 minutes, which saw him face 6 shots and allow 3 of them to go into the net. The first one, Draisaitl buried under his armpit in the 6th hole on the stick side. The second one was the worst one, where he fumbled out a sloppy, sloppy rebound on a long sort of bouncy shot from the blue line that by all rights just needed to be smothered or cleared into the corner, and he made a complete hash of it. Khera and Nuge followed up to the net front, and Nuge was able to stuff that one home. And then the McDavid goal, which was a beautiful play by McDavid, but the shot itself seemed like it was about 1.5 feet inside the goalpost, and yet it found a hole over Dubnyk's shoulder. So at that point, he was pulled, and Alex Stalock, who of course played 60 minutes in Calgary last night, was called off the bench and did a pretty decent job holding the Wild in the game into the third period before he too got shelled in a four-goal final frame. But Dubny, I'm a fan of Dubny, but boy, it was not his night. And I guess high time the Oilers figured him out. And every dog has his day and every dog has his bad day. And that was the latter for good old Dubny tonight. Another bad, I'm going to pile a little bit on Darnell Nurse here for some of his play in his own zone, which to call it an adventure would be praising it with faint dams. He's had just some highly questionable decision-making. There was one sequence in the second period where the Oilers were killing the penalty. They won the face-off. The mini defenseman was about 15 feet from the boards, and all Nurse had to do was ring it around the boards and out. But by the time he actually settled the puck down so he could shoot it, and then he wired that muffin wrist shot of his, the defender was able to get to the boards, keep it in, and then the sequence developed from there, and a centering or a cross seam pass went right under Nurse's stick to wide open shooter, and Talbot had the stop. Then there was the 4-2 goal early in the third period where Chris Russell on the left boards tried to fire the puck up the boards. He did get good wood on it, but the Wild player was tight to the boards. He made an excellent play to knock the puck down and keep it in front of him. But Nurse shaded over to Russell's side, and he completely abandoned the right side of the ice. And you might say, well, Nurse is the left defenseman. Actually, he's been playing quite a lot of right side with Russell. They seem to switch back and forth. And this was a situation where Russell was committed to the far side. Nurse needed to tend to business, to cover his zone, cover his man. He did neither. And bang, puck was in the net. Nito Niederreiter had an uncontested deflection from close range, and it was in the net. And then there was a sequence just after that, score still 4-2, and the game was starting to get tense because Minnesota was coming on a little bit. And there was a sequence where the puck came to a Wild guy in the high slot, and Nurse just backed in on his own goalie right to the edge of the crease, and he stood there 15 feet away from the danger man, who fired a great shot from the slot. And then Nurse, in pursuing the rebound, he collided with the teammate. He went down. He tried to cover the puck. He failed. They dug it out and went to the edge of the crease. And he's lying on the ice 15 feet away as they're hammering away at the rebound. And again, Talbot with a couple of terrific saves to keep it at 4-2. And wouldn't you know, the Oilers went down the ice on that same sequence. And it was McDavid to Draisaitl for the 5-2 game, and the game was never in doubt after that. I'm just looking up to see if no, he must have changed on the play, but it was a couple of pretty tough shifts there for Darnell, and he's had some good moments with the puck, like he's proactive like he usually is, rushing the puck and stuff, but just his play when the other guys have it, he's puck watching. And he's, if there's a new system that Trent Yanni's bringing in, he just doesn't seem to be getting it just yet. And the defense whisperer needs to whisper a little louder, I think, to get the system across. I'm frankly a bit concerned. The fourth-year player now, Nurse is, and some of the stuff. Remember Laddie Smead? He took forever learning this stuff too, but. At some point, the penny's got to drop, and some of these plays have got to become a little bit more routine. So that's my two bad things. And then for my numbers, I'm going to go with a couple of things. One is the fourth/third line, and I guess tonight by ice time, they were barely the third line. This was a newcomer, Valentin Zikov, on a line with Ryan Spooner and Ty Ratty. And the deal with those guys is Ratty played 11 minutes, Spooner 10.5 minutes. This is even strength I'm talking. Zikov, 11 minutes at even strength. And during the time they were out there, the Wild had zero shots on goal. And they had zero shots even that were wide of the goal. The only shot attempts that they had were blocked at source. They didn't get anything through even close to the netminder. So when you got a bottom six line that doesn't even allow a shot or a sniff, and we're talking to Fenwick, unblocked shot attempts, 8 for the Oilers, none against for these guys, 7 and none for another one of them. So they had the puck at the good in the good end. They didn't score. The only black mark on the three of them was a bit of a lame penalty that Zikov took in the neutral zone. That was, partly lame and partly unnecessary, but it got called and his mates killed it off, and that was that. But it was a pretty solid performance by that sort of makeshift trio with Spooner back playing center these days, because I kind of got relatively few options at the center position. In the bottom six, and the two righties, Ty Ratty, I'm liking his game, man. His long stick is so effective. He seems to be able to control the puck from some distance. So it's hard to believe the guy's only 6 feet tall, because he has this big, long, horizontal reach, effective reach with his stick. And he also played a pretty physical game tonight. So that's one number. And the other number is that every single player on the Oilers played over 10 minutes. So we didn't have this huge imbalance that we've had at times lately with Draisaitl and McDavid playing 24 to 28 minutes, or Klefbom playing 30 minutes. Partly because they had the lead, but also because the lines were effective. Hitchcock was able to roll them. And, of course, Edmonton only having one power play in this game very late meant that the big guys didn't pile up the special teams minutes the way they sometimes do. But the range tonight was from 24 minutes, 33 seconds. Klefbom most on the team. 22:07 for Draisaitl to lead the forwards for the fifth game in a row. This is becoming a thing. Under sixth game in a row, my bad. And he was 3 seconds under McDavid 7 games ago. This was the first time in those 7 games he was under 24 minutes, and he still put in 22. And then the least ice time for the forwards was, wait for it, Milan Lucic, 10 minutes and 55 seconds. How the mighty have fallen. Now, that's still a pretty decent amount of ice. It's not like you got a fourth line night of 6 minutes or anything like that. But the fact remains that of the 18 skaters for the Oilers, Luch had the 18th most minutes of ice time. And he had some moments. He had an assist on Zach Cassian's 4-1 goal. And he had a wonderful chance to break out of his now 28-game scoreless drought when he had at least the whole top of the net on a golden chance set up by Kyle Brodziak, but he somehow rang it off the goalpost. And the goalless drought remains. At least his pointless drought was closed out at just 11 games, his first point in 12 games tonight. Nearly got the goal. It's coming. It's got to come. At least it's good to see that line among the three of them finally notch a goal, their first one during the Ken Hitchcock era. And Hitchcock has given those guys a real role and plenty of minutes. And they've certainly had their zone time, and they've had a few good looks, and they just haven't been able to finish. But at least Cassian was able to surprise Stalock with a really good wrist shot from grade B range, but he rang it off the post and in to make it 4-1, and that was, in some senses, the beginning of the end for the Wild. So bottom line, though, when you see a team where all the guys are in the 10-plus minute range, you're looking at a team effort for the win, and it was a good thing, too. The Oilers are really stretched, as I said earlier. Some of their heavy minutes guys played just enormous minutes in St. Louis. Draisaitl, McDavid, and Nugent Hopkins. They played three of the top six ice time games for forwards in the NHL all season in St. Louis. Three of the top six all season long were by the Big Three. And tonight the Big Three came out and they each scored a goal in the first period, which is great. But they were able to at least moderate the minutes somewhat and share them up and down the lineup, and with a good team effort and some good goaltending and some good finishing, the Oilers rolled. And in the end, the score looked like a laugher at 7-2. With that, the Oilers are now officially over real 500 with 15 wins in 29 games. And by points percentage, they're third in the Pacific. And by however you slice it, they're right in the thick of the playoff standings now, with a 6-2-1 mark under Ken Hitchcock, including 5 wins now in their last 6 games. So good times are rolling for the Oilers right now, and especially tonight with by far their most convincing win. In fact, the first one of more than a 1-goal margin under Hitchcock. And now it's on to the Battle of Alberta on Sunday, and we'll see what happens there. With that, we'll wrap up this edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast with thanks to you, the listeners, for listening. And in the meantime, and in between times, this has been another edition of the Cult of Hockey podcast.